Our Bibles again tonight to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. Pray for us. We've been having some issues. Yesterday, my blood pressure went way down. I almost passed out and blacked out nearly. And while I was preaching this morning, I felt it go, boom, it went down. I don't know what I said. I don't know what I said or how I said it, because it affects your mind, clarity of thought. So I hope you see through. If I didn't say something just right, you see through it. But anyway, you pray for us, Lord, help us. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 6, we'll read again in verse number 10 and following. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Can I say something right there? Thank you. Appreciate it. I said, can I say something? And I heard all these yeses. Go for it, preacher. Tell us. Give us. No, I never heard of one. But anyway, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And watch this. It's only the brethren or the people of God that can be strong in the Lord. Amen. Nobody else. No other agency, no other resource on planet Earth that have access to being empowered of God. That the church, listen, the church is a sleeping giant. The devil fears for the church to wake up, because if we wake up and we're the only ones that can oppose the enemy, and we get serious about our spiritual life, and we, listen, value the cause at hand, what that is what we're fighting for, there's no telling what can be done. But a sleeping church will never really be a serving church. Never be a church that's going to cause the devil any problems. How many in here the devil's caused you trouble? Or at least maybe not him directly, but his imps. How would you like to turn that around and cause him a little bit? Amen. Escaping the fight, getting out of the fight, that's not even an option. Amen. Use your life. Let God use your life. If God's not using you, the devil is. That's the truth, isn't it? Anyway, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you, and keep in mind, he's still addressing the collective number of brethren, God's people. This is not this text is not isolated to one or two, or this group or that group, this preacher, that preacher, no. All believers comes into this heading right here. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, not part of it, pieces of it, the whole armor, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Is that not good news right there? That you would be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. I wonder if we have that. I've got that underscored and highlighted, in fact, in my Bible. Having done all to stand. I wonder if we can say that tonight. Having done all to stand. Don't even think about quitting until you've at least done everything you can do to stand. Most time we quit because we've left a lot of bases open. We're thinking about throwing in the towel, amen, because of the areas of neglect and areas of that we've let go spiritually. That's right. Because when that happens, you can't have joy in your heart. You're not right with the Lord completely like the Lord wants you to be. And then sadness and misery and gloom and all that comes in your life. Amen. Having done all to stand. I think we'd probably be smiling more if we have having done all to stand. Y'all go ahead and be seated. Don't you think? I think we'd probably have more joy. Our services would be power-packed if we'd be doing all, having done all. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. When you've done all you can do to stand, just keep standing. It's never right to not stand. It's always right to stand. Someone said if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything or anything. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, that's for emphasis sake, above all, not at the exclusion of the other things, but in light of all the other pieces of armor, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, those are three key words, in the Spirit. I mentioned this morning about our power that comes to us from the Lord, comes through the Holy Spirit. Our relationship to the Holy Spirit. Of course, your relationship to the Holy Spirit is inseparable with your relationship to the book He wrote. The Spirit of God is the author of the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and so on. And so we find here our praying is to be done in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance. Perseverance is a key word there as well. And supplication for all saints. We've been trying to preach around a little bit and just kind of, I need instruction. I need help. I'm learning as I go through this, and I've been amazed already how much that I've been able to give out even to just individuals that are struggling about the very thing of defending against defeat. I never have liked defeat. Anybody ever liked it? I don't have to ask, have you ever been defeated? Because we've all done that, and we probably will yet again. And it's always my fault. When I'm defeated, it's always my fault. And you can say the same thing. Amen? Defending, and I've said it again, the whole message, the whole series is developing or based on the fact that I cannot defeat the devil. I shouldn't even try to because he's already defeated. We don't fight for victory, we fight from victory. The victory's already been won on the cross of Calvary when Jesus declared, "It is finished." And then he was buried on that third day and he kicked the other end of the grave out and made it a sweet passage for the people of God to make it to go to heaven through. Amen. No sting of death, just a shadow, as David talked about. Yea, though I walk through the shadow of death. Amen. Shadows don't hurt you. That's right. You can stand on the roadside and a big truck go by and the shadow of it can hit you and we won't feel it. Ain't? But now you step out in front of it, there'll be the sting of death, the radiator of death and so forth. But I'm glad the sting of death has been taken out. I'm glad Jesus Christ has went in our behalf and underwent the full impact of the wrath of Almighty God upon sin. And I don't have to ever receive that. Thank God for that. Amen. What a God. What a Savior. Well, the young people said it right tonight. I stand amazed that He would love me. I stand amazed. I believe if you lose your amazement, I believe you've lost a lot of ground spiritually. Amen. Don't ever get over the cross. I'm saying that to me as well. Don't ever get over Calvary. Don't ever get over redemption. Don't ever get over the new birth. Don't ever get over that. Oh no. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Amen. It's getting saved by God's amazing and marvelous grace. Amen. But I can't defeat the devil, but I'll tell you what I can do. I can defend against him defeating me. And I don't want this just to be preaching. I don't want it to just be material and information and Bible verses referenced. I want it to be something practical that you can and I can take and put it in our life, okay? This is what the preacher was talking about. I'm under attack. The battle's raging. Amen. What am I supposed to do? Most people don't do nothing far as positive. Seriously, I mean, I'm as guilty as the next one. Instead of turning immediately and quickly to spiritual resources, amen, that God shows us in His Word that are instrumental in giving victory, instead of doing that, a lot of times we start pouting, and as we mentioned this morning. We start blaming somebody else, and the next thing you know, listen, we're defeated beyond the bone, amen. I mean, it's terrible. Anyway, this morning we kindly just said a few things about verse number 10, how we're defeated by a deficiency of power. Can I ask a question tonight? Thank you. I read your mind, didn't I? How important is the power of God to you? I mean, do you really want the power of God in your life? Now, the power of God is not for pleasure. The power of God is for service. The power of God is for warfare. You think about it. God and the next one in power is the devil. There's only one above the devil. If I'm going to have victory over the devil, it's wise, I think, to getting hooked up with the one and only one that's above him. Amen. That's what it talked about, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I know you look at churches today and you don't think there's much power with God and there's no, He don't have much might. But I promise you that what we're seeing in churches, even here, is not a drop in the bucket of the power that is available for us. Amen. And we're going against the powers of hell in these days. As much or more so than I've ever seen in my ministry. And listen, we've got to have the power of God. I remember the Lord gave me a little saying a long time back that the power of God will not be meaningful unless you desire to accomplish something for the Lord. Why would I want power if I'm not trying to do something for Jesus? If I'm not trying to do something for the Lord, make a difference, brighten the corner where I'm at. Amen. Let my light so shine before men that they may see my good works and glorify my Father which is in heaven. If I'm not interested in serving and soldiering and fighting and standing and making a difference, then I won't be interested in the power of God. Oh my goodness. Amen. Young people, are you interested in the power of the Lord in your life? Flowing through your life. Anyway, that's what we talked about a little bit this morning about the defeated by a deficiency of power. Number two, I want us to look a little bit further, and I want to talk about, and I'm just going to deal with this one thing tonight. I want us to have prayer at the end of the service. We got revival just right around the corner. And probably, in my estimation, probably one of the most important revivals we've ever had because the need is so great. But anyway, I want to preach, secondly, not only we're defeated by a deficiency of power, but also we are defeated by a disengagement from the fight. How many people are really in the fight? There's people in church that knows there's a fight, knows there's a war, but they're not engaged. They're not engaged reactively or proactively. Amen. They're not on the defense, helping to guard, helping to protect, and they're not on the offense of gaining ground for the Lord. Amen. Most people in church are defeated because of disengagement from the fight. And I referenced 2 Corinthians 10:4 this morning, talking about the weapons of our warfare, not carnal. In verse number 3, we do not war after the flesh. And how that God showed me this morning, and I mentioned it in service this morning, I reckon I did, amen, about the fact that a carnal person has no spiritual weapons in hand. Therefore, a carnal person is not going to fight for the Lord. But rather, according to Romans 8, verse 7 and 8, a carnal person is fighting against the Lord. Are y'all listening? Did you know a carnal, you say, who's a carnal person? What is a carnal person? There's three classes of people, and everybody's in one of the three. You got saved or lost, and then in the middle, you have carnal. You have saved people that's living a fleshly life. They're following the natural man. They're more interested and concerned about self, and that person is carnal. Did you know God never uses a carnal Christian? Actually, there's no such term as a carnal Christian. You can be saved and not be a Christian. You know that? You can be saved and not be exhibiting the evidence of Christ-likeness in your life. And so a carnal person is not going to be concerned about the fight. It's no bother to them that they don't have spiritual weapons in their hand. They don't care because the battle is not important to them. Amen. Listen to Romans 8 in verse number 7 and 8. Because the carnal mind, the natural mind, the Adamic thought process, the carnal mind is enmity against God. Y'all hear that? The carnal mind, the natural mind, the flesh nature is against God. That word enmity means to express hostility and hatred and opposition. It's used to describe that of enemies toward each other. To be carnal takes you off from being on God's side, so to speak, and puts you against God. Makes God your enemy and makes you an enemy of God. Boy, that's something, isn't it? Carnality is not a friend. Carnality, if you could ask me, preacher, what's wrong with, give us one word that would describe what's wrong with our churches, I wouldn't hesitate to say. I mean, we could say lack of prayer. We could say, you know, unfaithfulness. We could say all kinds of things. But I believe in one word to describe what's wrong with our churches is carnality. Are you listening? Carnality, mental, to be carnally minded. I wonder how much our service would have been different this morning and tonight had we been spiritually minded this past week and spiritually minded coming into the service. You're probably shocked how many people come to church on Sunday morning or Sunday night and they're here, they're sitting on a pew and listen to the whole service and they never reached up there and turned the spiritual thought process on. Are you listening? God help us. But anyway, the second way of being defeated is by disengagement from the fight. A carnal person is all about the flesh. Romans 8 in verse number 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Amen. Beware of that. Disengagement. Lord, give this to me as I was leaving, getting in the car there a few minutes ago. You know, we think, okay, I'm not fighting. I'm not putting on the armor and I'm not fighting. And that's where most people are. They're not engaged in the fight. They're not engaged in the warfare that's going on. And so they say, I'm not going to fight. But the Lord showed me that the fiery darts are still coming. The fiery darts and the wiles of the devil in verse number 11, all of the attack is still coming. All of the attempts of the devil, all the snares, everything that's coming against you is coming against you anyway. You quitting, devil's not going to quit because you quit. Devil's not going to back off because you back off. Oh no. When you say, I'm not fighting, I'm not interested in warfare, I'm not interested in being protected spiritually from defeat, I want to tell you, the devil says, oh, that you're just going to be an easy one for me because you don't have no defense. Disengagement from the fight does not stop the fight. The enemy's still real. The fight is still real. The enemy's still advancing. Amen. He's still throwing the fiery darts and all the other things that he does. But guess what? If you're not there engaged, we need total church engagement in the fight. That's right. Amen. We ought to have one stand around here. Does that make sense? Let me clarify it. In case you didn't understand it. We ought to have one stand. If somebody knows you go to RBT, they ought to know immediately what you believe and they ought to know how you stand. That's right. And I'm unashamed of our stand, my stand, the stand that I've took for many, many years. I'm unashamed of that. Amen. Things I preach against, I'm not ashamed of that. Are you listening? If everybody in town says Preacher Rackley preaches against this or that, I will never blush. I will readily say, yeah, I'll preach against that. And it needs to be preached more against it. Amen. But a church that has a message coming forth from the pulpit based in the scripture, and then they take it into their own opinions and their own mind and say, well, I don't know if I'm going to do that or not. I know we referenced Pleasant View up in McQuady. And I'm telling you, probably one of the strongest churches I know of anywhere. And I mentioned the other day about total church involvement. Everything they have, prayer room, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night, same crowd, Brother Massengill said, will be there for every service. Amen. And they all participate. And not only do they participate, but they all line up with the preaching. Because Brother Massengill will get with you if you don't. Say amen right there. He'll put the fear of God in you. That's right. I told somebody I couldn't go to his church. I'd be voted out probably. But he runs a tight ship. And that's why they have the power of God. But disengagement. A lot of people get tired of fighting. Is that a realistic statement? Can I say that I have? Many times over the years, I've got tired of fighting. I get tired of not of tired of preaching, but tired of dealing with certain issues that are confronting our church. Just immorality, immodesty, and all sorts of things that we seemingly constantly have to deal with. Because if we don't, whatever we don't deal with, well, our church will fill up with it. And I'm not talking about sinners. I don't care how sinners come. Are you listening? When I preach about modesty, I am not referencing a sinner at all. Amen. They need a heart change, not a wardrobe change. They need to be saved. That's right. But when it comes to believers, especially those that attend here, you know, it's important that we stay engaged in the fight. That's right. Amen. I hope that this could be said. I hope that I have preached the standard so high that we're still shooting for it. None of us have arrived. I've not. And I'm going to tell you, I'll be honest with you, it takes a lot for me to line up with my own preaching. That's exactly right. Amen. I mean, buddy, listen, I'm not just up here preaching to you. I'm preaching to me, and sometimes it's hard to handle. It's hard to swallow that. Amen. That's right. But anyway, disengagement. If you're out of the fight, the enemy fights on and loves that empty place that you've left behind. You're just one less that he has to be concerned with. That's just one more person out of the way that opposing him. Makes his advancements a lot easier. No armor, I mentioned that, the fiery darts still come. You're still in danger. Amen. God help us. But if you'll notice in verse number 11 and verse number 12, six times the word against is used. Are you against anything? I'm just throwing that question out. What are you against? What are you against personally? What are you against privately? Amen. Do you have standards in your own heart and life of what you will and will not do in your own life? And those are not for sale. Those convictions are not for sale. Amen. That's right. You can't be too holy for the Lord. You can't go too far for the Lord. That's right. When He went all the way for you, bore your cross, I want to tell you, you can't do too much for Him. Amen. And we're all probably going to be ashamed when we see Him one day because of how little we've done and spent too much time looking for an excuse to lower our standards instead of raise them up. And I know we're in a day when standards don't matter, or at least the mega churches seem to project that, that standards don't matter. And standards are not really for the spiritual. Amen. They're for the carnal. That's right. So anyway, the word against, we're engaged in a fight. We're against certain things. Amen. The whole purpose of the armor is to defend against defeat and keeps me from getting wounded and injured. You think about that. How many people are out of the fight because not because they're dead, but because they're injured? They've been wounded. My goodness. I read about a man, king of Israel. Josiah, I believe his name was. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 34 and 35. He got wounded in the battle. Here's what it said. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of his harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thy hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. You know what he was saying? Take me out of the battle because I am wounded. How many people have disengaged, unplugged themselves from the warfare that is necessary? We're not talking about foolishness. We're talking about what is necessary. But they're disengaged and unplugged themselves from it. Why? Because of injury. Because of a broken spirit. Because of a wound, amen, that it had been administered to them. Oh, yes. He said, take me out of the battle. Carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. Verse 35. The battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians and died at even. And the blood, listen to this, and the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. When I read that, the blood ran out of the wound. Leviticus, does it not say the life of the flesh is in the blood? The blood was running out the wound. You could say his life was draining and flowing out of the wound. Well, if that's not the devil's desire, is to wound you so that your life will flow out of the wound and end up where it says that you died. Oh, mercy. Beware of injury. Beware of hurts. Beware of wounds. Oh, they're not death blows far as that goes, but still it causes problems. My goodness. May the Lord help us. Do you feel your life flowing out of the wounds? Boy, I've been there. Be wounded, be brokenhearted, be hurt. Amen, be injured. And by the way, you're not going to serve God without some of this. You're not going to serve God without causing some, and you're not going to serve God without receiving some. Injury and hurts, and here's what the tendency is. I've even sensed it. The tendency is get hurt, and you pull back in your little shell and say, well, I'm just going to not love people and get close to people. I've heard preachers say that. I'm just not going to get close to people. No, I'm not going to, I'll pastor, I'll preach, I'll pray, I'll whatever, but I'm not going to get close to people. Listen, you can't help people from a distance. Amen. You might as well expect it. There's going to be hurts. There's going to be things that is uncomfortable. There's going to be injuries that are going to come in your life. And the whole purpose of the armor is to prevent those things. Amen. But you'll never be interested in the armor if you're not involved in the fight. Amen. Most of the church today is a soldier in name only and live like civilians. Turn to 2 Timothy right quick. 2 Timothy, you know this passage, I'm sure. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, or excuse me, chapter 2. Verse number 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. If you're a soldier and you're engaged in the fight and you know the captain and you know you've got the sword, you've got all of this in place, God says here, don't be entangled with the affairs of this life. You can't be a soldier and a citizen or a civilian at the same time. A lot of people's a soldier in name only, but still are living like civilians. Amen. God help us. Our country would not be free if that was the kind of people that stood for our country over the years. Amen. Can I say this to you? Nobody is neutral. Well, preacher, I'm not really involved, but I'm not against it either. I'm not really for it, but I'm not really against it. Well, you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. Amen. Joshua gave that appeal there that day in Joshua 24, and he said to all of that crowd of his nation, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Make up your mind. Choose this day whom you will serve. And then he announced, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Either for or against. You remember Elijah on Mount Carmel when he confronted the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Jezebel's table? You remember that? I believe it was, 850 total? You remember that? And he confronts them and he asks this question, how long halt ye between two opinions? If Baal be God, serve him. If God be God, serve him. Amen. But make up your mind is what he was saying. Amen. Be engaged in the fight. Nobody's neutral. Nobody's neutral. Amen. Matthew 12:30 is that verse I referenced. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Amen. He said, if you're not with me, which means you're not behind me, you do not accompany me, you are less than intimate and less than close to me. He said, if you're not with me, then you're against me, which denotes opposition. You're contrary to me, you're hostile to me, you're a cause of complication, of progress, and accomplishment to me. I wonder how much of hindrance comes to God through his people. Actually, let's go back to our text just a second. I just thought of this verse, one of my favorite verses. Ephesians, look at chapter 3, look at verse 20. Listen to what it says. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, comma, according to the power that worketh in us. The first part of that verse magnifies the ability and majesty of God. to exceed and excel everything that you can think or ask. Amen. But it's according to the power that worketh in us. It's conditional. What God is able to do or not able to do largely depends upon you and I as believers. This is a concept that is hard for me to grasp, that the God of heaven can create worlds in 6 days. But he's still working on me to make me a more Christ-like. 37 years, almost 37 years in progress. Amen. I wonder how many times we've hindered the Lord. Amen. David, wasn't it David that wrote, in, what was it, Psalms? Was it 103 or 107? He said, you've hindered the Holy One of Israel. You've hindered. Can you imagine that? Reckon we'll face that, Brother Frankie, at the judgment seat? I don't know that we will. I hope we don't, but we may. What could have been? God says, this is what I really wanted to do with you and your life. This is where I really wanted to go with you. And this is where I wanted to take you. And this is what I wanted to accomplish with you. But you would always choose the lesser route. You would always back up. You would always, make excuses or whatever. But anyway, there will be potential unfulfilled. Potential unfulfilled. I guess that grieves me as much as anything. Is potential unfulfilled. I wonder, oftentimes, I wonder where I'd be spiritually tonight if I'd have been full 100%, wide open, surrendered, submitted Christian from the day I got saved till this present night. Wonder where I'd be and what I'd be doing. I've heard of some of the older preachers that have died many years ago, and they come down to the time to die, and you know what they said? No regrets. I can't say that. I don't regret getting saved. I can say that. I don't regret standing where I stand and preach the way I preach. And I don't regret none of that. But I'll tell you what, I do regret times of prayerlessness. I do regret times that I've not as been faithful in the Word as I need to be. I regret, no doubt, hundreds and thousands possibly over the years that have walked within 10 feet of me that's lost without God and I never gave it a thought. Oh yeah, I've got plenty of regrets. But are we okay with God doing little? Is that good? Is that good enough? Are we okay if God just does something every now and then here and we have a good service every occasionally? Just every once in a while somebody will walk the aisle. Is that sufficient for us? God help us. Nobody's neutral. Everybody's either for or against the Lord. Everybody's either for the fight or against it. God's not using you. The devil is. Amen. He said, if you're not gathering, you're scattering abroad. Well, there's some preaching in those words. Not fighting. Why? You've got to have a reason. A person not fighting, and I've honestly, the Bible says in one of the minor prophets, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. I think a lot of people just don't know how to fight. Oh, they know how to fight carnally. You mess with me, you fight fire with fire, and so forth. But to be engaged in a spiritual warfare, Brother Mark, I don't know if God's people knows how. I don't know how they, Brother Aaron, you've even talked to me about it, about the armor. How do you make that practical? And that is practical. Every one of them pieces of the armor is practical. Amen. Why do we not fight? Disengage yourself from the fight. I believe, number one, because of a lost sight of the values and importance of what we're fighting about. Most of the things we fight about don't matter. Things that are valuable, things that are important, we just hand that over to the devil. I wrote down, listen, I believe it's worth fighting for the souls of men and their salvation. Standing for God is worth the fight. Why? Because, listen, we're the only ones that can oppose the devil, right? Well, those that are lost already in his kingdom, they're under his dominion. They're under his power. Listen, amen, that's right. And until they come in contact with the church that's empowered of God, amen, and serving and standing for the Lord, they may never get saved. May never get saved. That's right. God help us. We'll never know. We will never know, probably this side of heaven, how many people's in hell because of dead churches. We'll probably never know till the judgment seat of Christ how many lost people God could have saved in this church. But due to powerlessness and tight, grieved spirit, they come lost and leave lost. I know I reference Brother Bill a lot, but I'm telling you what got him that morning was a powerhouse service. The Spirit of God unrestricted moved in power that morning. Amen. Are we a spiritual hospital like we're supposed to be? Are we a spiritual rescue squad like we're supposed to be? God help us to never be satisfied with playing church. Do we lose sight of the values of what's important? Why fight? Is it really worth it? Is there a cause? Is it worth my time? Is it worth my effort? Is it worth my self-denial to be involved and engaged in this warfare? We're fighting for the souls of men and their salvation, because when they get saved, they're delivered from the kingdom of darkness. Fighting for your church, is it not worth it? Not fighting inside your church, fighting against your church, but fighting for your church. I've been amazed, and can I just be transparent? I've been amazed here over the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, 5 months, whatever, of how little of a fight was in me. Scared me, really. How little of a fight that was in me to stand and keep on serving. I felt it, Brother Jeter. I'm just being honest now. You may be on top of the world, but and listen, lose sight of the values. Lose sight of. And brother, I'm going to tell you, I had to slow way down and pay attention to discernment. Because it was all looking cloudy to me. And I would have made the wrong move if I would have made a move, it would have been a wrong move. Never make a move in the valley. Never make a move when there's confusion, when there's doubt, when there's depression, when there's you're down, you're defeated. How can God lead you in that condition? That's exactly right. God help us. Sometimes, brother, endurance just has to carry you. That's right. Lord, help me. Fight for your church. How easy we are to give up, and God's been so good to us. Them in the youth choir, I remember several of them when they got saved. I remember, and I said it all the time, but it won't hurt to reminisce just a second here. But I remember first Sunday morning here in 92, June of 92, there's 13 people counting us in the service. There's more than that than the youth choir today. God's been mighty good, but I want to tell you what, when hurts, injuries, whatever comes our way, disappointments comes our way, you know what we're easy to do? That's it. I'm done. I'm through. Boy, God's gonna accomplish something with that, isn't he? What are you going to do? Go somewhere where there's no, they've got signs up, no battle zone? You're going to go try to find somewhere where there's the devil loves you instead of hates you? That place doesn't exist. If you fight the devil here, you're going to fight the devil wherever. You're going to fight the devil in your home. You're going to fight the devil on the job. Hey, man, are you listening? God help us. Fight for our church. Amen. Not tolerate. Fight for it. Amen. That's right. Fight for it on your knees. That's right. Fight for your church. Fight for the souls of men. Fight for your family. Where would your family be without the church? Say amen right there. Oh, thank God that mom and daddy took me to the house of God and I got saved. Thank God for the times that church made a difference. Where would your family be? Where would some of these girls be and these boys? Where would these young people be? If God hadn't done a work in some of the moms and dads here, instead of bringing them and dragging them to church, you'd have drug them out to a rock concert or let them go with some old wild bunch. But we lose sight of all that. We let a little injury, and it don't take much. We're so flimsy. Me, I'm preaching to me. Fighting for your family. Fighting for your calling and ministry. Can I give you one? This, Lord, just put it on my heart. What about fighting for the anointing on you? Be engaged, Brother Craig, in warfare so that you could have the touch of God on you. When you sing, you're anointed. When you teach Sunday school, you're anointed. When you preach, you're anointed. When you testify, you're anointed. Would that not make a difference in this church? Sure it would. Well, I want the touch of God on me. I want the power of God on me. And more times than not, I've not had it. But there's been a few times, Brother Bill, I've been under the spout where the glory runs out. There's been a few times that the fresh oil from another world, hallelujah. Oh, there's no replacement, no substitute for that. You're to want, when you sing, be anointed. Sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. As the youth choir sings, I'm amazed, and let that resonate with your heart. Oh, be able to hook up with it and say, oh yes, I'm amazed. Amen. No one else, the song was tonight, and you think about that. Amen. Well, anyway, reasons for fighting. You lose sight of the values and importance of what is at stake. And is there not a lot at stake? A lot of people are disengaged in the fight because of fear. Fear of failure, fear of injury, fear of getting hurt or getting hurt again and again. Thirdly, we quit fighting. A lot of times we disengage from the battle because people have learned that it's much more comfortable to make a treaty than to fight. How many in here tonight has seen this in your life? When you've made efforts to move forward spiritually, it attracted warfare. And what do we do a lot of times? We back off and think, you know what? I moved up to right here. I responded to the preaching. I'm doing business with the Lord, and I moved up to here, and all of a sudden, I'm being shot at and attacked from every angle. But when I was back here, the same place I'd been for 20 years, seemed like it was a little more comfortable right there. But will comfort ever win a battle? We have a freedom of our country because there were some people that denied their comforts. And some even shed their blood and gave their life so that we could have freedom. Amen. The devil does not oppose people that does not oppose him. That's the reason a lot of people don't fight, is because the devil leaves them alone. Why would he fight you when you're no threat? Why would he fight you when you have already quit and disengaged from the fight? Amen. Well, listen to this. This is so good. God give this to me. Thinking about this. The enemy wrestles not to kill you, but to conquer you and control you. It's not a matter of life and death. He's not wanting to kill you. He's wanting to use you. I hope we get a hold of that. The devil's not attacking me to kill me. He's attacking me in this thing of wrestling to bring me into submission to where I surrender to him. Amen. Even Goliath, in his proposal to Saul's army, he even said this in 1 Samuel 17. He said, "Send out a man that we may fight together." And he said, if I win, he said, "Y'all will be our servants." He even knew that philosophy. He even knew that the results of defeat is to bring you into servitude to another master. Amen. So anyway, that's the truth, ain't it? Joshua and Peter, everybody, listen, you got to make up your mind to serve the Lord. Number four, we disengage a lot of times from the fight because of, we're disheartened by fellow soldiers that have deceased or AWOL, amen, out of place, absent without leave, straddling the fence, blending in, not interested in the fight. Have you ever been disappointed in somebody else? Fellow soldier, spiritually? Walk off and leave you? You've had that. I've had that. You'll have it again. We'll all have it again. It just happens. But there's been many times that I've thought, why? What's the use? Why try? Amen. Why fight? Why lead on? Preach on. Pray on. That's right. But you know what? I've not been here since the founding of this church. But I've been here 25 years. And we've been through a lot here. And some of you have been here, Brother Mark, y'all been here. You was here when I was here. I believe that's right. But we've seen a lot of things happen. We've seen God do God great things. We've saw devastating things take place as well. But you know what? The lights are still on at RBT. We're still having church. We're still preaching, still sending out missionaries. Still, amen. Thank God for those that stayed and prayed and those that, listen, that was unwilling to let the hurts and the disappointments pull the plug on your desire and your commitment to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. And I want to say to you as pastor, thank you for that. Amen. Because a lot of times when one will leave, it creates a vacuum. Creates a suction. And when one leaves, there'll be some others get sucked out with them. I appreciate you staying. Appreciate you standing. Appreciate the new ones God sent in. I appreciate that. Thank God. Amen. I get the feeling sometimes that everybody's gone. Miss Debbie corrected me on that one time. You still remember that, Seth? She came up to me after the service. I guess it was leaking out in my message probably that I was thinking everybody. I was preaching to an empty church, I thought. And she came up to me and she said, "Preacher, we've not all left. We didn't all go. We're still here. Feed us." Amen. Boy, that helped me right there. But don't get disengaged in the fight because of your becoming disheartened of how other soldiers do. Don't become detached from the soldiers, other soldiers, fellow soldiers. The devil can get you alone. If he can get you alone, then you're very easy for him to overcome. Stay with the group. Let's fight together. What is that saying, Brother Craig? United we stand, and divided we fall. Let's come together. Amen. Let's come up. Listen, let the preaching of the Word of God be of great importance in this church. Now, if it's just my preference, Brother Jeter, you can take it with a grain of salt. But if I can show you in the Bible that it's biblical and that it's true, listen, don't take that with a grain of salt. Apply it to your life. Amen. Apply it to your life. Let's have church participation and church engagement in the warfare. We got another generation coming up, these young kids coming up, boys and girls both, they're coming up. Listen, we should want them to have a holy hatred for the devil early in their life. That's right. My goodness. Amen. Parents, fight for your children. I saw something this past week of someone that used to go to church here, and I said to myself, no, I was thinking this morning before I even got out of the bed, I said, that's nothing more worse than that, than to see a parent pulling their children, had a whole van full of them, pulling their children down the broad road that leads to destruction. Going down the road with head banging, ungodly music playing, and all of the kids were singing. I thought, that's sad. That's sad. Hey, they don't have to have much encouragement to be carnal. I promise you that. You don't have to fan that fire, that fleshly fire. You don't have to fan that. May God help us to have a church that's got the power and presence of the Lord, Brother Mike, to where God can transform lives. Amen. May the Lord help us.